Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast, Agroecology World. This is your host, Rob Clouson, a.k.a. Dr. K, and I'm the lucky one on extended world travels with my wife, Sky. And as part of our adventures, I am fortuitously meeting the practitioners and communities of agroecology. Agroecology is the science developing the design and best practices of sustainable agriculture and community food systems. My intent for this podcast is to share with you the voices of these folks and places about their ideas and experiences, keeping it informal but informative and light but enlightening. In this episode, we're going to continue our exploration of urban agroecology. Urban agroecology is about urban agriculture and food systems. If you haven't listened to it yet, you may want to check out my episode 2, to hear some more attributes of urban agriculture. Now, before jumping into this episode, I thought you would appreciate getting some more background information about agroecology. For starters, agroecology focuses on the knowledge and methodology of the three pillars of the social, environmental, and economic basis of sustainability. Agroecology then moves beyond the natural science framework and accesses the insights of the social sciences to pay attention to beliefs, values, and assumptions of the structure of social, political, and economic life affecting agriculture and food systems. As Stephen Gleisman has written in his seminal books on agroecology, can also be described operationally by each of its three components. For example, take the approach of social agroecology. Social agroecology advocates and works for fundamental changes and strives to manifest these changes on the grounds with partnerships with producers, entrepreneurs, consumers, and communities of the entire food system. Example themes of social agroecology can include traditional agroecosystems and knowledge, food system democracy, participatory research and education, food insecurity, gender issues, and food system resiliency. My episodes of Agroecology World will hopefully feature practitioners of many of these topics. Today's episode introduces you to another program of sustainable urban agriculture in the land down under. That is Australia. It's focused on the city farm of the lovely city of Perth in Western Australia, which I was so fortunate to visit. My interview highlights its positive social impacts for urban agroecosystems of that community. For example, the site of Perth City Farm is a former industrial wasteland that was totally rehabilitated to become a community resource and designed to be integrated into a regional development project of the city of Perth. After a short musical interlude, we will listen to a conversation that I had with the manager of the Perth City Farm and my new mate on this topic from my travels there in January of 2019. Hello, hello. Welcome to this episode of the brand new podcast, Agroecology World. This is your host, Rob Clouson, and I'm sharing with you the voices of the people and places that are implementing sustainable lifestyles, especially using ecology-based practices to grow community food systems. Community food systems that can meet our basic needs and more. Today I'm in the lovely city of Perth, Australia, a bloody far distance from my home in Florida. I'm visiting the city farm of Perth and sitting with its manager, Rod Hughes. Right now I'm going to ask Rod to give us a little bit of introduction to the city farm, and then we'll continue investigating and learning about how and why they're doing what they're doing. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Rob. Thank you. Yes, I'm very lucky to have the position of farm manager at Perth City Farm. And this year, in 2019, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary on this site. So I take the opportunity to acknowledge the heroes that have gone before me that have established City Farm as, we hope, a really nice oasis in the city setting, a place where people from all sectors of the community can come and feel welcome, and if they want to actually get engaged in some of the programs that we run here.
And we really are in the city, because you could just hear the train go right by us.
And they won't stop for the interview. So as you can see, Rob, from looking around here, we've got a whole series of different growing systems. So we're growing food and other plants as a mechanism for engaging with the community. And we're doing it in a place which, I have to say, didn't used to look like this in the early days, was actually a contaminated site, former industrial uses. And so they really were heroes who had the vision to say, we can take this unloved piece of land and to heal it and transform it and make it a place with a positive environment, positive contribution to city life.
Wonderful. Well, maybe how about, you know, for our listeners, give us a sketch on, I read the mission statement on your website, to feed Perth from within Perth, something like that. And, you know, maybe some of the goals that your organization has at this point in time that, you know, it's always good to talk a little bit about how you got to where you are, but I know that where you are now is really what matters. So maybe just a little sketch along those sorts of things.
Sure. So our vision is as of Perth as a community of people living connected and sustainable lives. And to achieve that, it's about creating this space, as I say, where people can feel that they're welcome. So we have here, the spaces that we have are where people can come. It's easy to get to. Public transport, of course, is actually a very important part of the scene. People coming in here, and we can either run workshops using our own skills of the small staff that we have, or hosting other people to run workshops of different sorts. So just starting in the beginning of February, in fact, and sponsored by the City of Perth, is a series of workshops being run by one of our permaculture colleagues around town, and engaging with, in particular, local community and inner city dwellers, I suppose, is one of the focuses there, and saying, well, we understand that people are getting more and more interested in how their food is produced. Is it good to eat? Is it nutritious? Where did it come from? How is it grown? Well, they can actually get involved and, say, be part of the production process themselves and maybe even adopt some of the spaces. So while we run things like a biointensive market garden and a composting centre and all those things, actually getting back to some of the more traditional notions of a community garden where people can adopt a space for themselves, learn techniques of building soil, plant propagation, composting. And we know the appetite is there, but we also know that the knowledge level is quite low in a lot of cases. So just with a bit of prompting, few workshops, get them engaged and they can feel like they're actually taking a bit of charge of their own destiny in the food production space. The other thing that I suppose I'd like to mention about what we do is social inclusion is really important part of City Farm's kind of reason for being. And we see in this part of town folks who are disadvantaged, who have struggles of all sorts in their lives. And so we engage in programs there that will allow people to come in and feel connected and valued and respected. We've just finished two Work for the Dole programs, so that's unemployment benefit recipients coming in and learning new skills with us, teaching us skills, in fact. So we've built our composting soil centre. with those teams, and also built a new kitchen garden. So we're talking about people who, for example, young guys who've never planted a vegetable in their lives, never seen it grow, never harvested it or been part of, you know, processing it and eating it. And so seeing that happen in just 6 months was quite amazing. And I saw some of these guys in the team when they saw us making compost and putting that into our market garden beds and seeing the food produced from that, seeing the connections made, the cycle being closed, the loop being closed, was just, it was quite staggering to see some of these guys actually really connecting with that. And now we've got people who've become so hooked on this notion that they're coming back and volunteering with us, great, working back in the garden. And that's when you feel like you've really made a difference.
That's really developing community.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah.
So, and I know that some of the history I've read on the website, that there's other dimensions of the culture and the community that are also part of this. I came to the Saturday farmers markets, so I know that there's some entrepreneurs that sell there. So you've got some entrepreneurship you're fostering around. And if I'm not mistaken, don't you also have like concerts and, you know, cultural type of events as well here?
Yep. We're the classic social enterprise in that regard, in that we have multiple streams of endeavor and activity. And some of those, of course, are streams of income. We need cash to keep ourselves going. We've used the notion of PEACE, the word PEAC is the acronym of permaculture. So we generally apply permaculture principles. And I've just in fact finished my diploma in permaculture a few weeks ago. So permaculture education is critical for us in all its different forms. Some of it formal, some of it informal, but we're bringing school groups through all of the time. So that's another avenue of community connection. Arts, the A in the PEAC. So yes, you're dead right. We've got a really nice space for cultural and artistic endeavours to be sort of staged here. And then C for community. Just so critical that we reach out to different sectors of the community, as I mentioned before, and that people, for example, we've had a group, a long association with a group providing services to people with disabilities who could come in and get engaged in the nursery, learn about some aspects of plant propagation, and then come and have lunch with us, mainly with produce, you know, pulled out of the market garden and the like. And again, just feel like they're valued and respected and safe in a place like this. And then lastly, E for enterprise, as I mentioned. Mm. We need a few streams of income. So yes, you're right. We have a very vibrant Saturday markets, the farmers markets, where we sell some of our produce. Other vendors come in and sell their produce. We're running twilight markets because we have these beautiful summer evenings here and they are really popular. Lots of really great food and music going. And then we have spaces here which are available for people to rent out for functions and weddings. They're very popular. And there's a whole industry that's built around that. And we hope nudging that sort of part of the industry to be ecologically minded, I suppose, if I can put it that way, about how they go about running their business. And the other thing we do is look after some other urban spaces in the city. So we have what we call the urban orchard and the wetland in our cultural centre. And that's where we maintain a really beautiful space right in the heart of the city. And people can come in and just harvest food that's grown there or just sit and see a nice cool space to be. And these little pieces of ecology in the middle of the city are so valuable. The tiny wetland, which I know you've seen, mm-hmm. it's just tiny, but there are birds and insects that are using that as their home. And that's just so important to watch how the kids interact with that, whom living in suburban life maybe aren't seeing that so much. And then we have another site, which most people probably wouldn't even know is there. It's a rooftop garden way up on the top of a inner city car park. And it's deliberately designed to allow the folks who are mostly chained to their PCs to come down at lunchtime and get some dirt under their fingernails and grow a bit of produce and feel connected to the earth.
Yes, I was able to go and enjoy the urban orchard. It was I love the setting right there at the cultural center of Perth as well. And so, well, you know, we've already touched upon some of my next question, but maybe it'll also, you'll think of something else to add to it. So when I try to help groups out that do similar things like your group here, I first of all have them take stock of the core group, what skills and connections they bring to the organization, and then what are those opportunities or needs that are identified by the community that you then learn about that help, you know, prioritize or set up programs to meet those needs. I know you've talked about some of it. Is there anything else that comes to mind? Permaculture is big, but you've also shown me in the garden a lot of other techniques, John Jevons, the double digging, and other influences. Are those your personal influences, or things that someone else before has, you know, started here that is carried on?
Yeah, so I certainly take my hat off to those that have come before me. The biointensive market gardening approach, influenced by the likes of John Jevons, is something that was started before I arrived, and that's something I'm picking up as I go. My background has been mainly in permaculture, and I live in a rural setting, so I'm sort of applying some of my skills into that space, although in saying that, on my other days, I do some off-site consultancies in permaculture, quite often in the urban setting. What we're finding, to answer that question about how do you know what people want, I suppose, is that we're seeing the market of people who are just wanting to reconnect, I suppose, with the earth. And food's one of those critical connectors, isn't it, I suppose? And growing good food, knowing that it's healthy, just seems to be a theme that's emerging again and again. And so while I see things like you grow biointensive in your urban market gardening as, you know, a very interesting and, you know, wonderful set of skills that grows out of that and people engage with that, I've got to say that I see that as a mechanism for engaging with people rather than, for example, although we grow food and we sell it for a price at market, we're actually not geared particularly well to make it a profitable enterprise. I see it more as a learning and teaching mechanism for people to get engaged. And that might be through formal mechanisms where we run workshops on plant propagation, seed collecting, and so on, or in fact, other... I've lost my train of thought there, sorry.
I know. I mean, that interaction with people, sometimes I remember, especially showing people and having them respond like they do when they actually grow food for the first time. Boy, it opens up a lot of other possibilities that they may not even been aware of that then you might think about helping them realize, you know, and so yeah, I know exactly what you mean, that it's a iterative approach, and we do our best to be as responsive as possible, which is really dependent of bringing in those stakeholders that bring skill sets, right, that can help you as a program continue to be relevant to the community.
I guess the point that I was trying to get to there was that, yep, there are skills that you, and wonderful skills that I love, either having or learning, in terms of food production, you know, permaculture systems, about building the ecology as we go. But I suppose one of the things that's standing out for us more and more is the social connection that happens through this. So they are vehicles for social connection, because I'm sure you've seen it. I think it's a pretty global phenomenon about social dislocation, disconnection, leading to all sorts of other secondary sort of negatives. And so if we can play a part in getting people to see that there are folks around who care about them, that there are positives in the world, which can seem pretty calamitous if you're, you know, spend too much reading the newspaper or watching television. Come into a place like this, which is, for all the background noise of the train and the city, is actually a peaceful oasis. And so I, you know, can really stress that notion of what we see coming out now is that need for social inclusion, social connection. So in the coming year, we'll be spending quite a lot of time on our strategic plan for the city farm to recalibrate exactly, you know, where are we going with all of the things that we do, and reminding ourselves of why we do them. Sort of the what and the how can take precedent, but the why needs to come back out again to remind ourselves. And so, yeah, being really good at running a market garden and harvesting X kilos of whatever, that's a good thing to do, but I see that as a vehicle for these other sort of outcomes.
Again, having read a little bit about the history, I know that there were a lot of challenges, external threats, to just hold on to this location. Community partners from the government actually were identified and came in at critical times. I think there was a redevelopment agency that was part of that story. And I always try to advise people to look for those partners, both inside and outside of the quote-unquote system as well. Maybe a little bit about some of those partners, especially the ones like you see as you rethink maybe the future, the next steps, who those partners are.
You're absolutely right, Rob. If you don't have partners in a business like this, you're lost. Certainly the state government has been great. This is state government land that we hold the lease with, and we've been able to get that onto a long-term lease after a long battle, I suppose, long negotiations with those guys. So that's really terrific that we've been able to get that. Funding always, and I know that all of the city farmers around the globe will face this challenge of having enough money to just, you know, buy the things that you need to keep a farm going. And so we're lucky in that we can use some of those other enterprises that I've mentioned to draw money in. The City of Perth is helping us fund that education workshop. The off-site partners that allow us to engage with the community in those other green inner city greening spaces, because each one of those places where we operate is a place to build those relationships. You're meeting people all of the time. Now I'm mostly down here on the farm, but whenever I can, I'll scoot up into the center of the city. And you only need to be in the urban orchard for a few minutes and somebody's up there talking to you going, what's this about? What's this space? What is that plant? Why are you growing this here? Can I eat this? Yeah. And I'm always grabbing leaves of some plant and shoving it at somebody saying, here, taste this or smell that, and explaining why we might be growing it there. And that's I suppose, to go back to my roots in permaculture. You know, why is this thing in the garden? How did it earn its place in the system? What is its function, or, of course, multiple functions that it might play in a well-designed system? And so people's eyes are open when you start engaging with them like that. And it's so easy. It's like talking about the weather. It's so easy to start talking to people about plants and trees and fruit and vegetables that they're seeing around them, bang in the middle of the city.
And when we expand that perspective, kind of curious about the movement here in Perth. Were there inspirations or organizations in Australia itself and other parts of Australia that contributed to what's going on here in Perth?
I can't really speak to that question, I suppose, from the origins of Perth City Farm, but visionaries like Roseanne and Tom Scott, who saw this place, as I said, as an unloved piece of the city, and saw that they could turn that around, really did the hard yards, and in fact were, I suppose, the pioneers for the city. This is one of the original sort of spaces that took on this role. So I like to think, in a way, Perth City Farmers, the community garden, has been inspirational for others, and there are now many community gardens around the city and in the suburbs. I'm personally involved in another fledgling community garden program in the sort of peri-urban rural areas now, and they take inspiration not just from a place like City Farm, but the global effort. And of course, that's the beauty of the internet, is that you can sort of connect pretty quickly, you know, with people that are like yourself, I suppose. And it's not uncommon where you've got even international visitors wandering into a place like City Farm, because that's what you would do if you're engaged in a place like this or in a role like this. When you go travelling, you seek out these places and make these connections, which I just think is fantastic.
Yeah, well, I can attest to that, because when I visited the City Farm in Canberra, they hold Perth City Farm as one of their models that they hope to accomplish half as much as you have. So, and then I've heard Melbourne is also one of those communities that has inspired a lot of this effort across Australia. So, well, one thing that I also want to ask, because in my past life I was connected with a university and the government, and so my job was to get involved with organizations trying to do agriculture urbanism or small-scale market gardening and farming. What is the involvement, if any, with some of the academic institutions, maybe the government agriculture institutions, in terms of any form of involvement here? I know in my case, I was an educator, but we also brought researchers, students to farms and projects to add a little bit of that element to helping not only problem solve. It's a two-way street. You're teaching the next generation of students about this sort of thing, as well as helping organizations out. Just curious on the experience that you've seen here.
Look, you're absolutely right. It's another critical area of partnering. At a very basic level, we have students from primary to tertiary level coming through the site all of the time. So just a bit of information transfer there. We also have students who come on site as part of their practical learning. So they might come on and do soil testing and water testing and analysis as part of their courses. Within about 150 yards of where we live, where we're sitting, I should say, is a technical and further education college. And so they engage with us in that way, and that students will come across here and take water and soil sampling, for example. And we've had some discussions in the last 6 months about how else we might engage with them. The other area, in Australia in particular, we're doing quite a lot of work to formalise permaculture qualifications. So rather than the standard permaculture design certificate, we're now getting accredited courses to Cert 4 level and diploma level. And so I'm looking ahead at whether we can be a registered site, if you like, certainly for providing the certification or certificate level studies for people coming in, because a lot of the work that we're doing here fits extremely well with that. So the teams that are coming in for those programs I mentioned for Work for the Dole, for example, they could be getting a ticket while they're here just to help them into that area where they become employment ready, and they've got, it might not be much, but a little bit to show where they've been, and they've got a ticket as a result of their time here. I think at the research level, there's more work for us to do there. I'm interested in seeing the results of some of the techniques that we use. Are we really producing good, healthy food? You know, we say we are, but did we test? I think there's a lot of work that we could be doing there. Yep.
And then one group of professionals that I always enjoyed interacting with are city planners. So kind of curious about the relationship with some of those folks that are making decisions that really are critical to finding the spaces, the reasons why to include it. Because Perth, from what I've seen, is a dynamic, growing community. I see building going on everywhere, every angle that I look around this city. And do you feel like you're being invited to the table enough to start sharing more of these ideas to some of these decision makers?
It's a very interesting question. You're right in that the landowner here is part of the state government, and we have a good relationship with them. That area is shifting, as happens in state government, and the critical relationship is also with the City of Perth. I think that relationship is one where we can do lots of really good work to engage with them in that role that we play in the city landscape. I think that point that you make about city planners and how we fit into that, because as we know, as we intensify the dwellings in cities, those high quality urban green spaces just become more and more critical. And so, yeah, I think maybe we're not being invited as much, but I suppose it falls to us as well to make ourselves relevant to that discussion and say, hey, do you understand how critical we are in that green space? And we're both passive and highly active green space in particular. So, yeah, as the city grows, these little pockets of green just become so much more important.
Yeah, and both you and I know these are challenges and opportunities that organizations all over the world are looking at and trying to come up with sustainable solutions for. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here, Rod. This has been a fantastic conversation. Again, I'm really excited to be able to meet you and visit the City Farm here in Perth. And I just wish all the luck and community engagement that can possibly happen to make this whole organization flourish more into the next decades and further along. And I know this podcast is going to be inspiring words to a lot of other organizations that are trying to get something together. I think the experience of your city farm here is, it may be a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but hang in there. You'll make those relationships, and at the end, that's really what it's all about. That's going to make the difference.
Thanks, Robert. Really, really appreciate your interest and for making the connection, because as I said, I think it's those connections that are so important.
Now we're going to have a short musical interlude, so stay tuned, and then we'll have a short wrap-up of this episode. Well, there you have it, my conversation with Rod from the Perth City Farm. Done when my wife Skye and I visited the lovely city of Perth, Australia, the so-called world's most remote city. I hope that you found it as informative and inspiring as I did. If you want further information about the Perth City Farm, please follow them on their webpage at perthcityfarm.org.au. And Perth City Farm is all one word. And last but not least, I again want to acknowledge the artist of my theme music selections for this episode of Agroecology World. The song Everyone Sleeps in the Light by Joaquin Cooter, and the song Once Again by the group Hang Massive. Happy trails until we meet again at my next episode of Agroecology World. And please share it with your friends and associates who also may be interested.